Thank you so much, brother.
God bless you all, brothers and sisters. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the word of the Lord reads like this. We are in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. All the people gathered as a united body in the plaza in front of the water gate. They asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought out the law before the assembled people. Both men and women were in attendance, as well as all who could understand what they were hearing. Ezra read from it, facing the plaza in front of the water gate, from early in the morning until midday in the presence of the men and women, as well as all who could understand. All the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden rostrum erected for that purpose. Beside him, to his right, stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. Beside him, to his left, stood Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkiah, Hashum, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people because he was visible above all people who were there. As he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and with uplifted hands, the people responded, Amen, Amen. They bowed down and worshiped the Lord, prostrate on the ground. Furthermore, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the descendants of Levi taught the law to the people who were standing, to the people remaining standing. They read from the book of the law of God, distinctly communicating its meaning so they could understand the reading. Because all the people were weeping as they listened to the word of the law, Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and the scribe, descendants of Levi, who taught the people to everyone, the day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. He also told them, go, eat the best food, drink the best wine, and give something to those who have nothing, since this day is holy to our Lord. Don't be sorrowful, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Shall we please pray? Father, we thank you. We give you glory and we give you honor that you are Lord. This morning we yield to you and we surrender to you. We pray you will speak to us. Father, I yield to you. Spirit of our living God, I pray your help, my helper. I surrender to you and I pray you will speak to your people today. May you move and may you, who is God, do your work in the hearts of your children. Be exalted, Lord. Be magnified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory to God. And so we are continuing our study of the book of Nehemiah. We saw how Nehemiah went back to rebuild the gates of Jerusalem. And we saw how for 52 days the people committed themselves to supporting the vision and the idea that God had given them to rebuild the walls, which had been broken for years. And we've studied through the book till chapter 8 now, where we saw last week how God was working on the hearts of the people. Today, we are looking at, I'm speaking on the subject, the Spirit of God working through the Word of God, bringing revival. The Spirit of God working through the Word of God and bringing revival. Isn't it amazing that Jesus says that the worshiper, there's a time coming when the true worshiper will worship God in truth and in spirit. We need both the truth, which is the word of God, and we need the Spirit of God also working and giving us utterance and understanding of the word of God. Without the two, it will not be balanced. And so we need to be both knowing the word of God, and secondly, the Spirit of God moving, teaching us, encouraging us, and giving us the grace and the strength to obey the word of God. And so you see that revival is come. These people have been committed to working for 52 days, day and night. And after the work is done, now they can assemble. And so the first point I want to speak on is hearing God's word brings revival. J. Edwin Orr defines revival as the Spirit of God working through the word of God in the lives of people of God. In the lives of people of God. The Spirit of God working through the word of God bringing revival. And so J. Edwin Orr defines revival this way. And I stand with it. And we actually see in this passage how it is working. So the people, after all the work has been done, come together. The writer says in the verse 1 that they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law. This demonstrates that the Spirit of God was at work even before the reading of the word of God. People do not gather together as one man. They didn't all come together with one agreement. They were all seeking. They were all in one understanding, one place. So they had all become one. And they were seeking to understand the word of God. So the writer say, together as men of God. You see, again, for the things of God, unless the Spirit of God has moved them, and they do not desire God's word, unless the Spirit of God has moved in them. People do not desire the word of God, do not yearn for God's word, except the Spirit of God is at work in their life. And so you see the Spirit of God moving them to yearn and desire and want the word of God. You see, this tells us something. If we attend to the hearing of the word of God, it is evidence the Spirit of God is working with you. But it is still important to cooperate with that work and to not resist it. We need to cooperate and flow with the work of God's Spirit if the word of God is going to do its full work in our life. We need to cooperate with God's word. You see, to come here and to be sitting here, yearning for God's word, the morning devotions that you do, your availability to study the word of God, is an indication that God is working on you. You see, you've done the hard work. The first step, being able to avail yourself to read the word, to study the word, and to know the word of God. Now, the Spirit of God don't want you to just know, but he wants to fully work with you, cooperate with you. He's moving you. He's bringing the desire, and you have to open up. Me and you, all of us, we need to open ourselves up for the Spirit of God to do his work in our life. The Spirit of God is our teacher. He is our comforter. He is our encourager. He is our power, our empowerment to be able to fulfill God's word. And so everything pertaining to God, the Spirit of God has been given as a promise to me and you to help us to fulfill God's purpose. And so if me and you, as God is moving us, and when you are having that desire for the word of God, you need to open up. Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. When the Spirit of God is doing something with you, allow him. Allow him. Allow him to do his work with you. Glory to God. The book of the law of Moses. The book of the law of Moses is the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This was Israel's instruction manual for how to walk before God. And so today, we don't have just the five books. We have the entire Bible. We have the totality of the Bible. Some of us have it digitally. Others have the written. It is all supposed to be abided by. It is all supposed to be abided by. Ezra the scribe. Ezra the priest. Ezra was the man responsible for having the temple rebuilt. He was the first person that led the first group of Israelites from their exile of 70 years. He was the person that led them back. And when they came, he focused on rebuilding the temple of God. And Nehemiah also comes just to continue the work that Ezra was doing. Ezra was a scribe. A scribe is somebody who writes the word of God by hand. And so it makes sense that they all called him to bring the word of God to read it, because he would have copied the entire book of the first five books of Moses and reading it to them. They looked up to him. And you see, all of us here need to understand that wherever we come from, whatever we are, by God's grace, he's brought us under one roof through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in relation to him as our Father, to build, to continue the work that the Lord Jesus came to do on this earth. Jesus came to restore us to the Father. And when he had finished the work, he died and resurrected, he told his disciples, "Go ye to the nations and preach the gospel." We are supposed to continue this work. And even as we come here as children of God, Nehemiah came later. Ezra came before, he played his role. Nehemiah came later, he's also playing his role. All of us have to play our role. I'm coming to build on what other pastors have been doing here, what all of you have been doing here already. It is all in God's will that we all come together with one cord, one mind, to rebuild the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. And it is not about our personal gain. You can see from here, Nehemiah didn't have a secret agenda. Likewise, I am not here with a secret agenda. I am here to fulfill God's purpose with all of us and me, myself. I know I'm a gift to all of you, and I have come to serve you as the Lord wills. And I pray and I call on all of you to allow the word of God to work in your heart. Let us all fulfill God's purpose for us, because one day, however it is, we answer to our Father in heaven. We answer to our Father in heaven. All who could hear with understanding. It is important. It is not surprising that the Bible is the most interpreted document in the world. It is interpreted in more than over 250 languages. People are committed to making sure the Bible is read, it can be read by almost every individual in this world. And so, understanding the word of God is important. This shows us who need to hear the word of God. Everyone who could understand it needed to hear it, which is why over here we will not stop anyone from hearing the word of God. Neither should you hinder anyone from hearing the word of God. Wherever you go, if there are people around you who can understand, share the word of God with them. Encourage them. You see, don't be thinking of what you want to say to them. Just share the word of God. Declare the word of God. Pronounce the word of God. Let the word of God be you. Be a walking Bible. And declare the word of God. Walk in the word of God. And let people see the word of God. It is where transformation is from. And the Spirit of God will use you, will seek to use you like that. So let us all avail ourselves. Let us all avail ourselves. This was a move of the Holy Spirit. This was a move of the Holy Spirit. People who will be attentive to the book of the law for some 6 hours are people touched by the Spirit of God. For 6 good hours, when the scripture says from dawn, basically from early morning, they came together, and until 12, when the sun was up, they were attentively listening to the word of God. Wow. This tells you how angry they were for the word of God. They were thirsty. They were angry for the word of God. No wonder that the word of God says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they they shall inherit the earth. Let us hunger and thirst for God's word. Wherever you are, I know sometimes it is difficult. We have such busy lives. But let us desire. Because I know the Spirit of God is willing to work on you. And he's working on both all of us. Many times, sometimes you'll be lying in your bed, you feel like reading the Bible. Maybe you'll be watching a program, you feel like, oh, I need to listen to the word of God. I need to just pay attention. Make time to study God's word. I always say, our morning devotions and our evening devotions are very good. We are supposed to do them. But we also, as children of God, need to spend time, make time to sit down to study the word of God and to know it and understand it, make it part of us and walk it. And you see the children of God hungry for his word. It is not surprising. These people have gone away into exile. They've been in lands where they went worshiping God. They've come back for many years. They were trying their own thing. Nehemiah comes for 52 days. They were battling, building a wall. And now they get the chance to sit down. You see, look for an opportunity in your busy lifestyle, especially in our culture these days, where God's word is being pushed to the side. Make that effort. Avail yourself for an opportunity to encounter and to be blessed by the word of God. From morning, they sat down. And so now the next point I want to touch on is God's word was revived. When you look at verse 4 to 6, so Ezra, the scribe, stood on a platform on wood which they had made for the purpose, and based him at his right hand stood Mattathiah, Shemaiah, Anaiah, Urijah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and at his left hand Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashaum, and Hashabandam, Zachariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their face to the ground. So Ezra stood on a platform. They had taken the time to build a wooden platform so that God's word could be heard. They did practical things so God's word would have great effort. You see, all that we do here, having a good microphone, churches are spending so much to be able to make sure the word of God is heard by everyone that comes. We can also make an effort. You see, if we can have an environment that is quiet to allow the reading of the word of God. There are practical things we can do to allow us. And so most of the time when we want to really dig into the word of God, let us ask ourselves, is there anything around me that would distract me from hearing God's word? Is there anything? And as a church leadership, we will try our best to create the right atmosphere. But when you are at home, when you are wherever you go, ask yourself, is there distractions? Am I able to really engage with God's word in this environment and create the right atmosphere? God wants to speak to us. It's amazing when he wanted to speak to Elijah. He told Elijah to go in the mountains. Elijah went into the mountains, and there was a strong earthquake. Elijah was like, surely God is in this. But it turned out that God wasn't. There was a strong wind. Surely. But God wasn't. But there was a calm wind that blew. And as the wind blew, the word of God says that God called out to Elijah. Elijah, Elijah. Let us create the right atmosphere. If we really want to hear from God, if we really want to understand Him, the Spirit of God is patient, He's calm, and if we create the right atmosphere, He will engage with us. He will engage with us. He will engage with us. So there were people. There were people who stood by the right hand and the left hand of Nehemiah. On the right hand and the left hand of Ezra, were men who were supporting him in his ministry of teaching God's word. The ministry of God's word has the greatest effect when people can see men and women who are in support of it and obedient to it. We have to support the word of God. We have to. When we open it, when he opened it, all the people stood up. This is a sign of reverence. They realized that God's word was a high authority. They had a respect for God's word. They recognized it for what it was, the word of God, not the word of man. They honored it. This is evidence of two things. First, that the Spirit of God is at work. Second, that something good is about to happen. Something good is about to happen. First, the Spirit of God was at work. The people were looking up to it. They surrendered to him. And it's also a sign that something good was about to happen. Then all the people answered, "This work of the word of God and the Spirit of God had three immediate result. One, the people thanked God by saying amen when Ezra blessed them. They prayed. The second one is they prayed by lifting up their hands. And then the third point is that they worshipped by bowing down before him. You see, thanksgiving, prayer, and praise are all good measures of how the Spirit of God and Word of God are working in our life. If the Word of God is truly working in your life, you will always be thankful. You will always be thankful, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your condition will be, you will be thankful. Not just that, you will pray, because the Word of God gives us the freedom to pray. The Spirit of God gives us utterance. And so as you are reading the Word of God, as you're studying the Word of God, you find yourself praying. Make time to pray. When you feel like praying, pray. Spend time in prayer. And not just that, worship. Praise Him. Exalt Him. Magnify Him. Left with the devil alone, left with Satan alone, we will be these miserable, crying, always pity people walking around. Well, whatever the enemy has thrown at you and me, we need to understand that we serve a supreme God, a mighty God that is deserving of our praise regardless of whatever happens. Regardless, praise God, pray, worship Him. Worship Him. All the worship belongs to Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. No matter what your condition is, you are better than someone. It is not good to think that you are better than someone, but always remember that it is by God's grace you are where you are, and you can appreciate His love. You can appreciate His kindness. There are so many good things God does for us. Let us not only always dwindle on the negativity, the evil, the wickedness, the harm that goes on around us. Let us look at the positive sides and let us always appreciate God for the word things that He's doing in our life. And now the third part of this passage, I'm going to end on the third one. God's word is present so that people may understand. God's word is present so that people may understand. apostle, he mentioned so many people's name who were instrumental in helping them, but he goes ahead and says, help the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Help the people to understand. Special men were appointed to help the people understand God's word. After the reading, they needed to understand it, because if they did not understand it, it would do little good. It would do little good. If me and you can read the Bible, but we don't understand, then what's the point? You remember Stephen, the African man, sitting in a chariot. He never knew anything about Jesus. Reading the passages about Jesus, and he didn't understand what was going on. And he gave up. He said, what rubbish is this? But while he was saying these things, the Spirit of God caught Stephen up, and he ran to catch up. He appeared with the man, and God says that Stephen asked him, what are you? He said, I'm trying to read this, but I don't understand. And Stephen sat in the chariot with him, and he explained the word of God to him. And as he understood, he said, oh, hold on. Then there's river here. Let us get down and go for you to baptize me. This man accepted Jesus Christ. So understanding the word of God is key. Understanding was key. The people understood that then. And we have to understand it now, that we need God's grace to be able to understand, which is also why we have to seek the presence of the Spirit of our living God in our life. Because he will first help us. He will first seek to teach us. He's our teacher. So when we read the word of God, he will give us understanding. Not just that. The Spirit of God will empower the word in us. As we understand, then we can apply it to our life. But I want to mention five things that David Guzik, he's a good commentator, says about his teaching. He says, understanding needs to be the first goal of any preacher or teacher. When I stand to teach God's people, they are something that I always need to remember. Understanding. So now these are the five things. If you leave knowing five helpful hints to a better life, but do not have a greater understanding of God's word, I have failed. It is not about practical ways of, it is all about living and understanding it. His second point is that if you live having been amused by humor, entertained or captivated by dramatic stories, but do not have a greater understanding of God's word, I have failed. It is not about humor. To come and humor you, make you laugh, and then you go away and you don't remember the word of God. You didn't understand anything. All you remember is, oh, he made us laugh. It is not about entertainment. When we come here, there are blessed and anointed people who can play instruments, who can minister to us. It is not for fun. It is not for joke. They are ministering God's word unto us. And the next point, he says, if you leave motivated to action or prayer, or praying a prayer, but it is not blessed on a greater understanding of God, if it is not based on a greater understanding of God's word, I have failed. It is not about motivating you to go and leave the motivation has to be based on the basis of the word of God. And then his last point is that if you leave admiring me, but do not have a greater understanding of God's word, I have failed, and I will be accountable before God for my failure. You see, I hold very dear to these words. That is why I am taking my time to teach you the word of God. And I encourage every teacher here. It is not surprising. I'm telling you, I value the teaching and the understanding, which is why we are making plans that from September, we will spend time and pay the right people to come and teach every person that teaches in this place so that we can be able to explain the word of God well and teach the word of God well and be able to live according to the word of God. Because it is not about playing. There is too much playing in the house of God. And we need to value the understanding. We need to value the understanding. I will take my time to teach the word of God. And I will take my time to do it well. Because I will be accountable to God in future. I answer to God, not to man. And so one day, he will say, the opportunity I gave you to teach my people, what did you do with it? So I don't joke with it. I spend time studying. And I encourage all of you, spend time studying. Because the calling that God has given us, no matter where you go, whether you are a cleaner, whether you are a bus driver, whether you are a taxi driver, a Uber driver, whether you are a drummer, whatever you do, you work in a bar. The Jesus that we worship says, go ye to the nation and preach the gospel. And if we are going to do this, we need to know it, understand it, and be able to apply it to people's life. Because the world that we live in today is totally different from those times when he said, thou shalt, and they, no. Now, you need to find practical ways to be able to interpret the word of God. So, children of God, desire to understand. If you are not understanding, ask, he will give you. God himself will give you the understanding. If it is not, if he's trying to get through to you and you can't get it, pray that he will send you to somebody. I always say, make your pastors work. We have made pastors very lazy these days because our congregations don't come to us. Pastor, I am studying on this subject. Do you know any scriptures that can help me study on this subject? Then it will push me to go and work. If you are asking me questions that, oh, I won't be sitting down playing when I know I'm supposed to support you to grow in your faith. And if you push me like that, I will push myself. And by the grace of God, the Spirit of God will give me the grace to study and be able to teach you. And for all of us to grow, to fulfill God's purpose, we can move forward and pursue this. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it is not so that we'll come and sit here and look nice. It is so that we can be able to go out and teach the word of God to others. So spend time, value knowing, take a course, get a book on how to study the word of God, get Bible commentaries that will help you to understand what the word of God is saying. Invest into understanding God's word. These days we spend so much time on certain things that are not. These days you can even just walk into McDonald's and one burger, one food, by the time you finish, $12 is spent. But there are so many books out there which are even cheaper than McDonald's. And we don't spend our time in investing into our spiritual understanding. So many of us are in the church and we are so shallow in understanding spiritual things. The Spirit of God wants to teach us. And when we get pastors who are willing to teach us the truth, we think they hate us. I love you all with all my heart. Don't think I hate you. I came to serve you. I'm your servant. And I serve God. I'm yours, okay? I'm yours. So they help the people to understand. They read distinctly. No wonder today there are so many different types of interpretation in the Church of God. We have Spanish interpretation here. Because everybody has to be able to understand the Word of God at their level. That is why teachers have to spend time to be able to even explain the Word of God to children. You see how our children ministry came to take all the children and they are downstairs. They are teaching them at their level to be able to understand God's Word. we need to be able to distinctly be able to understand, regardless of where you come from, what your culture is, what your background is, God is willing to help you, to teach you. He's willing to make people available. You just avail yourself. So today, the sermon I came to preach has come to an end. Next week, we will see how the people responded to God's word. The hard time is gone. Now, the spiritual connection is in place. Me and you, we need to make time for God's word. The word of God says that he that thinketh he stands, let him watch, lest he falls. Don't think you have enough of God's word, or you know enough of God's word, or you relate with him enough. There is always room to grow. So make time, avail yourself, desire to know, desire for the Spirit of God to work on you. And when he's teaching you, open up and you will see how he will transform and mold your life. As a church, if we value the word of God, if we obey the word of God, if we study the word of God and we apply it to our life, you will see how we will flourish in our community. You will see how we will flourish in our homes. You will see how. I will tell you this story. I have a pastor friend who was going through very difficult and challenging times in UK. I grew up with him together, and by God's grace, he was given a small church plant. And when he was pastoring the church, it wasn't long. His wife said, I'm leaving you. This guy did everything, fasting, everything. Myself, I was fasting with him. Many men of God were fasting, and the woman left him. The woman left him. And so he was broken, and he went to see another very, very blessed man of God. So as he went to sit down, telling the man his problems, the man looked at him in his face and he said, my brother, have you seen anyone that has committed themselves to God's word that God has disgraced? You are going through a difficult time now, and I understand, the father understands, but you will come up on top. Today, you should see that brother that I'm talking about. As I pastor here, someday, somehow, he might come to minister to us. You will see the anointing he carries. The church that God has given him now is growing and he's fulfilling God's purpose. I'm telling you this story for a reason. Commit your life to the word of God. Hold on to the word of God. Desire to know it. Invest into knowing it. Battle for it with the Lord. Pray, seek him, worship him. Honor the word of God. And you will see God honoring you in Jesus' mighty name. Let us pray. Please talk to him.